a Show Me Your Mic. Don't adjust your dial. That is no music, new intro music. It's a new season here at Show Me Your Mic, as it were. It's episode 31, but I took a little break. Thanks for sticking around, keeping it subscribed in your iPod, iPhone, iPad, Android thing, catcher device player. We're back for season two with Chris Coyer, and pleased to have him as a guest on the show. We talk screencasting, podcasting, code penning, and a bunch of other stuff. So stick around, enjoy the show, and I'll be back afterwards if I need to. I like what you guys, I like the, what's the one you guys use?
TLK.io.
Yeah.
Although we're, you know, I love that one, and I'm not like looking to switch off of it, although we've been experimenting a little bit with using Google Hangouts Live, which is kind of cool. And there's like, they have live chat and they have like a Q&A thing where people can submit questions and other people vote on them. And I think that's kind of neat.
Yeah. Yeah. I did one. I tried one just on another show I do. I tried the Google Hangout thing, which was kind of fun to have the video streaming option. Plus, as I don't know if who handles, whether you or Dave handles a lot of that, but like just not having to worry about your own servers and streaming stuff crashing and, you know,
right.
Obviously you're at the mercy of Google then, I guess, but
I wish I understood it more. Dave will do a post on it one of these days about how, cause there's, when you're doing it live, and I'm sure it's like this for you too, there's a lot of moving parts, you know, there's your bandwidth and the guest bandwidth and Skype and the service that, you know, Dave even has another computer that, you know, it also listens into the call on Skype and sends it to the streaming server, which sends it to the browsers. And that's even like browsers are going to work this week.
Yeah, exactly. So welcome back to, I'm sort of calling it season two of Show Me Your Mic. I took a few weeks off. It's probably been a month actually now, if I'm really honest. But so technically it's episode 31, start of season two. And it just so happens to work out that the co-host of the guy who I actually had as episode one was, that sounded really backwards. I had Dave Rupert as episode one guest, first guest on this show. So now sort of kickstarting off the new season here, I'm going back through the and matching up the partners. Maybe I don't know. Anyways,
synergy.
Yeah, synergizing my business profiles or something like that. Anyways, Chris Coyer is joining me. Hello, Chris.
Hi, everybody. Happy to be on.
So he is the man and the myth behind css-tricks.com. I think it's fair to say it's a website that's taught and maybe retaught a whole generation of web designers how to do their job. To put it mildly, maybe. I think, if you do a search for any sort of web-related stuff, there's CSS Tricks is going to be at the top or near the top of any sort of search result. And if it's not, his spare time hobby, which actually is your full-time hobby now, CodePen, which is an HTML, CSS, JavaScript code editor right in your browser, is his other gig. And the third leg in the stool of Chris Coyer.
I like it.
That doesn't sound good, though, the stool. Anyways, no. I have kids. I deal with a lot of stool. Is the main reason why you're on here, which is the Shop Talk show that you do, which you're just about to. Actually, no, you just did today release your 90th episode, right?
Yep. I bugged Dave about it on Twitter. I was like, Dave, put up the show. It's Monday or Tuesday is a good day for us to release it, just because I don't know. It spreads it out because Thursday is when we record one live. So it kind of, you know, hits a couple of big days in the week.
Yeah. So talk to me a bit about Shop Talk Show. What's going way back? It's probably been almost 2 years now since you started the show.
I guess it has almost.
What was the?
I don't know when the date was, but it's been a while.
What was the sort of impetus, the motive behind starting a podcast? Which maybe, I guess it's probably at that time it wasn't. Didn't feel the same way it does these days, where like just about everybody and their dog has a podcast. But you and Dave started up the show talking about web stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I had been making screencasts for CSS Tricks for a long time before that, even. So, and it's, I mean, a podcast and in recording screencasts aren't too far apart. I mean, ultimately, you need to record some audio, and in the case of a screencast, video, of course. and then like release it in some way that people can subscribe to. So a podcast is just an audio only version of that. So it's, I mean, I had dabbled in it for quite a long time, you know, just, I don't know. And then, but I was invited to other people's podcasts once in a while. And I always had just the best time ever doing it because it's super fun to just, it's like the best part of a web conference, really. Like when you get to like hang out and just like talk shop with people, shop being that like kind of generic word that any profession uses to, you know, talk about, you know, like those exclusionary conversations we have where if anybody else were to listen in, they'd be like, what the F are these people talking about, you know? So we call that Shop Talk, which is, you know, it's I love the name and I love our logo and I like everything, but it is kind of generic, right? Like there's a lot of other things that are called Shop Talk that try to edge in on it. We even got some emails early on in the process that were like, I own the domain name Shop Talk and I'm going to get my lawyers involved or something. I'm like, oh God, just go for it.
Yeah, exactly. So you really did? That's hilarious. That's
yeah. Because we stole, we cheat. Us web developers are kind of cheaters when it comes to that, to Google juice, right? Because we all like link to each other and have blogs, and you know, we like get a little extra Google juice for the things that we do compared to somebody else. So this the person who emailed me wrote a book called Shop Talk, which is totally unrelated. And then you know, Google searches slowly started to morph over to us instead of his book of the same name. And he's like, that's hurting my business. I'm like, that's how the internet works.
Yeah. And definitely there's a, we do have a built-in advantage that way, I guess, of because we like to shop, talk shop and link to each other and blog. And yeah, I've thought of it that way.
And then at one point, Dave just asked me to do it. And I had in my mind that the next, like, I want to do a podcast, but I don't have the time to do it all by myself. It's just, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of coordination and recording and post-processing and you need a website. And I was like, I really want to do it, but I really don't want to do it by myself. And I was like, the next person that asks me to like co-host a show with them, I'm going to say yes. And thankfully it was Dave Rupert.
Yeah. You got a good, luckily it was him that asked you next instead of some other guy.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to do it maybe. But yeah. And so now, Your basic premise of the show, you typically have a guest on, sometimes you haven't, where you just sort of answer questions, which I love that premise. And I think, I mean, it takes two folks like yourself, you and Dave, who know what you're talking about to be able to do a call-in, as it were, a call-in show. You take questions through like email and also audio questions, which is great. I think that's another great sort of thing that allows the community to sort of build around is hearing their own voice on the show. And I know I've tried that on various shows too, and sometimes you get nothing, and so it's get no response.
It's like 5% maybe.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you need that bigger listening audience to sort of start that off, but it's fun. It gets the community involved in more than just sit a passive way, I guess. So
yeah, absolutely. And it's more fun to listen to. It just makes for better radio, as it were.
Yeah, definitely. But I think I was gonna say, like, lots of folks would aspire to do a sort of call-in show, but you kind of do need to be a bit of an expert on what the topic at hand that people would want to ask you questions. And I guess just speaks to the knowledge that you've gained over the many years of doing CSS Tricks. And I thought, just sort of it's not specifically a podcast. So, I mean, it's not that we're talking necessarily podcasting. This show is just sort of talking about, in my mind anyways, maybe other people are tuning in just because it's about podcasting. But in my mind, it's kind of about creating audio, video kind of content that you send out for folks and sort of how you do it and stuff. So maybe just like for the screencast is sort of where you got started with all this kind of stuff. What kind of tech and stuff are you using these days when you're doing your screencasting? Or, yeah.
It's pretty light. I'm pretty lazy about the thing. And in a way, because that's nice because then I'll actually do it.
Yeah.
But I wish that I did better. So I have a Mac and I use ScreenFlow.
Yeah.
I'm sure most people have heard of that. And it's super duper nice, I think. It's really good software for screencasting, and I use none of its features. what you, I think the first ones you ever dabble with or like, or what you might expect from software like this is that you kind of like drag a box somewhere around the screen and be like, record this portion of my screen. And then you hit record and you get that portion of your screen, or maybe perhaps your whole screen or whatever it is. And then go, and you don't really have that option with ScreenFlow. The kind of the thing that you kind of the mental leap that you have to get over is that you, it just records everything. And then afterwards, you can go in and crop it and move stuff around and whatever. It doesn't even let you record only a portion of your screen. It just gets everything. And then it has some pretty powerful like post-processing tools. So you can like, in the timeline of your screencast, like enlarge the, you know, zoom in on a portion of your screen and zoom out and add stuff to the screen and stuff. And it makes that stuff really easy and has a really nice UI for it. And then I just do none of that.
So you do sort of the lazy man screencast approach of like, this is my screen, you're going to see it, I'm not going to zoom in and, you know, show you the little details or whatever necessarily.
Yeah, and I wish I had time to do that, but if I did, I just wouldn't do it then, you know.
Yeah, I know, it takes that much longer than to do it, and so then you just think about doing it and you're like, oh, it's a lot of work and I don't really want to buy it.
Occasionally I'll like bump up some font sizes, yeah, or, you know, highlight some text on the page or kind of circle it with my mouse to draw the attention there. But I'm not a master of it. I'm more of just explaining the concept. And I think they're pretty watchable anyway, because I talk through the whole thing and I explain what I'm doing. And, you know, I just,
yeah,
it's just the way it is. And I shoot a lot of the, I still shoot. I mean, I shot a whole bunch of them this weekend that I lost because I forgot to click the thing in ScreenFlow that it says, there's just, when you open up ScreenFlow, you get this little black floater window thing that's like, new recording, record the desktop from, and then you like pick which monitor if you have multiple monitors and pick which microphone if you have multiple options there. And there's just a little checkbox that says record audio, and I just had it off because I recorded a silent one for some reason. And I just, there's no coming back from that. I just lost them all. But fortunately, if you just, once you get over the, you know, once you like repair the hole in your wall that you kicked through and stuff,
yeah,
ultimately you've shot it once. The second one is probably going to be better. And I think they,
yeah, have
in this. So
I know, I saw that. Actually, funny thing that happened to me is I was doing another screencast of just my own little thing, and it wasn't quite as bad, but I forgot to check, like I have, you know, the fancy mic set up, and I ended up recording the whole thing with just like the iMac built-in mic, which is still, you know, better than nothing, obviously, but it was just funny to me that I replied to your tweet about that, and then like a day later I go and forget to actually check my own mic input. But yeah, ScreenFlow is awesome. There's something about it, I don't know what it is, and this is what I remember finding your stuff, and I think I loving the just the relaxed, I don't know, I don't want to say like unprofessional in that it's not well done, but it's just kind of relaxed. And I remember, I think it was like the MAMP video you did or whatever, at one point I was like, like, and it was like, wasn't working, and other people would go back maybe and like polish it all up and make it like, but to me it was kind of like, here's a guy who's, you know, working through this stuff. I'm going to learn how he did it. I'm going to see some of the mistakes he made, and I'm going to probably make them too, because I'm going to not pay attention as much. And, but then I'll be able to go back and figure out why you, how it broke or how you fixed it. And yeah, I loved the way that you did that. And there's, you know, there's a time and place for folks like, I don't know, like a Don McAllister or whatever screencasts online. I think is his thing.
Are they really polished? I'm not familiar.
Yeah, and well, and he's British too, so it sounds even more professional.
Yeah.
But anyways, it's you know, there's a time and place for that too, but it's a I love
there the, is. And I go back and forth, like when I'm in the mood to go learn something. Sometimes I'm in the like in the mood for it, a chill, relaxed kind of like, just introduce me to the concept because I'll probably feel better about it. Sometimes when I need an answer right now, I'm like, stop screwing around.
Exactly.
And I get both of those, that feedback all the time on CSS.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, I love your style. Like, you know, thanks. Like you were just saying, I mean, I very much appreciate that. And that's what you're going to get forever, because that's just what I do. Yeah. But if you don't like that, please don't subscribe to my screencast, because you're never going to get anything else.
Exactly. That's why you've got your sponsor there, Treehouse, right? You can.
Yeah, sure. And I think they're complimentary. You know, they have a different style and whatever. And like, not to mention like 15 times more stuff than I'll ever have.
Yeah, exactly. How do you, when you're doing a screencast, and this to me again, maybe I'll stop justifying talking about screencasts as opposed to podcasting at some point here during our chat. But to me, it applies just as much whether it's a screencast or whether it's a podcast you're preparing to do, an interview, maybe a podcast, because not all podcasts obviously are interviews, not all are just discussions. Some of them are sort of training. So similarly to what you're doing with your screencast, how much of it is prepared? I'm just sort of scrolling through basics of JavaScript templating, number 127, for example, but like, or using Modernizer maybe is a better one, but how much of it do you sort of plan out ahead of time with, like, I know you don't script it necessarily, but like, you know, these are the key things I want to make sure I mention, or is it kind of just, there's this problem, I'm going to just record myself figuring it out and then export and done?
Yeah, that's a good question, because it varies. I use Things, that's like Mac software, like to-do software thing, and I just have a list of video ideas. And I'll often just put some general notes in there, like, I want to make sure to touch on this, 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 and then on my, I usually am recording one screen and I have another screen that I can look at, and I usually have that open just so I can glance over at it and make sure that I hit the little points in it. That's as scripted as it gets, is a few bullet points. If it's like a specific coding demonstration, sometimes I will do it first, like just write the code up and then just throw it away quick. And then just that way, as I'm doing it again, I like am familiar with it because I just did it. So it's like a little, I have a little bit of prep. CodePen actually makes that a lot easier because I can just make a pen real quick and figure it out and then just like ditch that pen.
Right.
And just do it over again. I don't always do that. Sometimes it's like I've done it in another context. I did it while I was working on CodePen or working on CSS Tricks or something. So I don't really need to. Like, that was my practice session, and now I can come do it in a more limited context in a screencast. So it depends. Never do I script it. Never do I like get it super duper organized, because on purpose, because I know people like that off the cuff thing. They like a mistake here and there so that I can figure out what the mistake was live. And I'm at the point in my like career of web development that, you know, in a way, without trying to sound like cocky or something, there's no problem that I can't figure out. You know, I can use the dev tools well enough to like, even if I can't like immediately solve the problem, I can at least like figure out pretty much what's broken and why and what I should Google and or like what like kind of hone in on the bit that's confusing so that I might be able to ask somebody or something. There's rarely a moment where I'm just like frazzled and just have no idea what to do next. You know, I have troubleshooting steps that I can apply to any problem.
Yeah. And have a bit of experience. And how, I think I saw you tweet about this once, maybe, and other folks, but like, how often do you tweet Google search a problem and end up back on your own?
All the time.
Yeah.
5 times a day, you know? That's pretty.
That's awesome.
Your brain can't hold in all that stuff. You know, just yeah. Write it down.
Yeah, exactly. Or screencast it and then watch it again later.
Remember yeah. Why. So it's, yeah. ScreenFlow, it's good software. I have a Rode Podcaster, which I'm sure a lot of people that have been on the show have, probably because it's like inexpensive-ish. It's like $100, but it, you know, it sounds pretty good, I think. It's like made out of I don't know, super steel or something. Like it's like in perfect, it's like in perfect condition, and I've had it for like 6-7 years.
Yeah. And you've traveled with it probably.
Yeah, I throw it in my luggage. It's moved from me in 4 or 5 houses I've lived in. I think it's robust.
You should do a buddy comedy show, you and your...
It goes on vacation with me. It's on my dashboard.
Right. I can see the YouTube series now. Kickstarter that one.
Thank you for being a friend.
All right, so going back to... Speaking of podcasting, little segue from nothing, but going back to the Shop Talk show, with you and Dave, and I don't know if this is still the case, at one point you have had, and maybe still do have, some help with editing. Aaron Ward, I think, at one point was doing it. I don't know if he still is, but...
Aaron Dowd.
Dowd, sorry, Aaron Ward. Yeah. Who's Aaron Ward? Why am I thinking? Is that
MailChimp?
He is MailChimp?
Still doing it, yes. Anyway. He does everyone. Aaron, oh, I don't know. Aaron, there is an Aaron that works for MailChimp who's awesome. Dang it! Now you made me forget his name. Even there's no reason I shouldn't know his name. Who did the Book Apart book about the emotional design and stuff?
Yeah, Aaron
Walters.
Walters, yes. Okay, good. We got that sorted. That's important. For, well, it's important for Aaron. The various Aarons out there. Anyways, that was a long ramble to get to the point of what's your with the various folks you guys have on, and you and Dave obviously are, you know, you're smart folks, you know a lot of different folks, but you also have your own kind of interests, and I know when I've done interview shows with another co-host, sometimes it's tough because the other person picks someone, you're like, I don't know them, I don't know how I'm going to chat with them, I'm not, you know, I respect them and they seem really interesting, but at the same time, So how do you and Dave sort of work out that process, or is it kind of just, yeah, what's your
you'd have to ask Dave on how he feels about that.
Well, we have Dave right here. No, this is your life.
Just because I generally pick.
Oh, do you? Okay. Well, there you go.
I mean, he has opinion. He literally sent me a name like 15 minutes ago, and I was like, done. I like that person too. Let's get him on.
Okay.
So that happens sometimes, and it's Dave just is a gentleman. He has a it's very often in the pre-show we'll have gotten them on Skype, and Dave will be like, "Hi, you know, thanks so much for being on the show. We've never met in real life, but I respect your work," or you know, or whatever. He has a little spiel that he reuses in that situation, and you know, everybody's super nice. We've never had a jerk on the show, you know. It's almost like doesn't exist in this industry.
Yeah.
So, and you know, Dave is just an interested dude too, so you know, no matter what, he'll have some questions, he'll listen to what they have to say and think of questions, you know. It's never been a big issue where one person is just like dead silent because they just have nothing to say.
Yeah,
it's usually the opposite problem.
Yeah,
for me, which I don't usually. I'm not like a run my mouth kind of guy, but on the show, I almost have to put a little, I don't know, something to poke me or something because I take up too much of the airtime. I'm like bad at that. I should let the guest talk more and Dave talk more, but I'm just like blah 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 blah.
Well, I guess one third of the reason people tune in for is you, and one third for Dave, and one third for the guests, maybe. Who knows?
Probably.
And do you take the similar approach to your screencast as you do with the podcast? Are you doing a lot of prep for as far as stuff, or you kind of just have a do you have an outline in front of you, or just go with whatever the flow might be?
Well, we do some prep, and we got to get better at it. Not that we don't do prep, we just need a better system for it. So I'd be kind of interested to hear what other people do for stuff like this, because. So, A, it is a Q&A show. So there's lots of interview shows out there, as you know, and they're all good. It's just we just didn't want to do that again, you know? Like, I don't know. It seems like that area is, like, way covered. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to be like, but you also need, like, a little chunk of time where at least the person tells you who they are. Because I think that would be a little awkward to, like, have them on the show and be like, okay, question number one. You know, be like, why'd you even have them on at all if... I don't know. So yeah. we dedicate, we try, you know, it ends up being about 15 minutes usually in the show. And so the how we organize for that is that we have a shared Dropbox between me and Dave and Aaron, actually. And each show has a markdown file, and it's just a text file, and we open it up and we put like the basic outline for the show in it, like who are the sponsors at the top. Then we play the music. Then I put the guest's name, and then I just fill out like stuff that pops into my mind about that guest, like here's a tweet of theirs recently that was funny or interesting or something. Here's something relevant that they're doing right now. This is where they work. This is that stuff, and it's just a list of that stuff. So when we're talking to that guest, both me or Dave have some stuff we can look at and use to, I don't know, whatever, keep the show going and figure out. And then below that is questions that we pre-selected that would be good for that show. And there, I usually put in like, I don't know, 15 or something, and we get to like between 5 and 8. So we can just kind of pick ones, and there's always more than we need. And the ones we don't use just kind of go back in the pile. So it's not a very advanced system. It's just a text file basically, but it's something, you know, it keeps us on track.
And so then do you, maybe on your sort of, take it back to web development, your local environment or whatever you want to call it, where you keep your, say, the list of questions, for example, what do you keep, just a local doc or a Google Doc thing that you...
Yeah, it's literally, it's named I keep it, as a matter of fact, in my dock because I open it so often.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what's not a good system about this is if you write into a Shop Talk Show question, it's a WooFoo form and it comes to my email and I open it up and I copy it and paste bits of it into this file. That's how advanced of a system it is. That's what's got to change, you know, because it's just kind of a gross system. And this file's just enormous, you know. It's thousands of lines long of questions. It's the file is named ***bank.markdown, and I don't know why there's two spaces between the word. It's just like one of those file names that just sucks, but has been that way forever, and now I'm rather attached to it.
Yeah, that's what I find myself doing in Dropbox stuff, where like directories and stuff, I'll have like, rather than figuring out a better system, I'll just put like Z in front of it so it drops. It's the file at the bottom, even though like I should be using some better system, or like 001, you like just like the old phone book trick of getting your name to the top or whatever, just four A's in front just so that I remember where the file is rather than actually, you know, following a proper system. But yeah. And then as far as like the show notes and stuff, or maybe this is where Aaron comes in, I can't remember exactly, but like, so you're not doing stuff live where you're, do you have a sort of a back channel thing that you and Dave use to say, by the way, or do you just try to? I mean, you seem pretty relaxed on air, I guess, and on the recording.
Oh, so is there it's Skype, so we have Skype chat.
Right,
can talk in and stuff. So that's, we don't even use it all that much, but it's there.
Yeah. Sweet.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty good system. It's also like we make decisions based on what to do and how to operate the show based on like the lowest amount of effort possible, just so that we don't get burnt out on it. We get to keep doing it. You know, that's like a very specific thing. Like we don't make any changes unless it's like, is this going to be super easy? And yeah, we used to do the show notes ourselves and we still kind of do and polish them up and stuff, but we just kind of have like bumped Aaron up in his responsibility over time. And now as he's editing the show, also puts the notes together so that we can just kind of grab them and look them over and throw them in there and whatever, post the show. So it's quick.
Yeah. And you guys use, I think I've tried to pimp this on almost every episode since I heard about it, but you're using Dave's fancy little time code selector linky thing, which is awesome.
Yeah, so that's, it is really nice. It's nice for our advertisers too, because they can be like, you know, they're like, oh, did you do our spot? And you can just send them a link right to the spot instead of just being like, maybe you should listen to the show if you care so much.
Yeah,
which you can't do that because that's no good.
Okay, well, that's a good segue because I have it on maybe unofficial off the record that from somebody who's your co-host saying that Chris Coyer is the master ninja of sponsorship hookups, and that I should talk to you about that sometime. And so 30 episodes later.
I mean, I don't think there's any problem with sharing. I mean, you can just see who sponsors us for one thing, but if you ever needed a introduction to who they were or whatever, let me know. That's fine. I don't know that I'm the master of it, because I think usually we just have a form on the site and people and advertisers just come to the site and ask, you know, or whatever, just send us an email if they want to advertise. And then we don't get a ton of them coming in, but we've had enough and people have been happy about it enough that they, you know, we have a lot of long-term ones that kind of just stick around. But I don't know. I hear tale of podcasts that do a lot better than we do as far as
hear tale.
What you want is honestly, it's just real talk here. You want the like big pockets companies that just want a long-term sponsorship. They have a big budget and they want to just, you know, they want to just hands off. They want to give you some money to advertise on their stuff. That's just just because it's easy, you know, and chances are there are good companies that you want. I mean, we've never had MailChimp on, but you want MailChimp to sponsor your show. Period. You know, they have deep pockets. They're nice. They do cool stuff. They'll give you a discount. Everybody loves them anyway. It's just a big love fest.
Oh. Yeah.
Are you listening, MailChimp?
Well, after we
start shelling it out,
couldn't remember Aaron's name at the beginning of the show. He probably tuned out if he happened to tune in. No, we got him. Aaron Walter. Yeah. And that's, I think that's, it's always the big mystery. And I'm not talking specifically about your show exactly in the specifics of what you guys do for sponsorship, but it's always the question. Cause I mean, everybody says they get into this for the love of podcasting, but then they really would just want to get their hands on some money and understandably get paid for their hobby and get to do that, even whatever, whether it's halftime, full time, whatever the case may be. But and inevitably,
at least make it worth doing.
Yeah,
I mean, that's where we're at with Dave's thing or at Chop Talk Show. It's totally, totally worth doing, but it's also not job quitting.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it helps you get, like you said, you know, some days there's like you just kind of don't feel like maybe doing a show or recording a thing, and as much as you enjoy the guest or whatever, but it helps to know that at least what I'm doing with this, especially, I would guess, this is what I was going back to the three stools of Chris Quirk. you know, you've got focus on all these other things that you've sort of built up that in some way or another you enjoy doing, whether it's this CSS Tricks or CodePen and the podcast, and deciding sort of where to put your focus on a given day and a given hour, I'm sure could be an interesting discussion in and of itself. But, you know, to know that there's a bit of money behind this thing that helps pay your bills or put some food on your table for pays for a trip with you and your road podcaster, you know, mm-hmm. it helps keep that motivation there through some of the lower times, if there's such a thing.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I think if you want to, we want to go big, it's possible, but you need to cut out some other stuff in your life. I think it's any of the podcasts that are clearly funding someone's life, that's all they do, or it's definitely the number one thing that they do. Mm-hmm. So, and that's just not an option for a lot of us. It would be too big of a gamble at this point to be like, could I make, you know, the world's greatest web development podcast as such that I could, you know, stop doing my other things? For me, that wouldn't work out, but just because they all feed each other. So mm-hmm. it would be stupid to stop writing at CSS Tricks to do a podcast, you know. But, you know, I sometimes I dream of what a podcast would look like that was, you know, one of these just AAA style podcasts, you know, like the ones we all listen to, like 99% Invisible and stuff. I'm sure you've heard that show, right?
Mm-hmm. Actually, that's one thing you can start your mind thinking about this, because one of the ways I sort of end the show is chatting about which podcasts
nice.
You listen
Other,
to.
Yeah, of course. That's a required segment.
Exactly. But I just want to comment on, because something you said earlier about Shop Talk Show, that I had always sort of thought of it as just yet another interview show. Like, just, you know, when I thought about, when it came up, say, in Instacast, when I'm listening to it, I think, oh, they've got Karen McGrane on. Oh, yeah, that's good. But I've heard her be interviewed a few times, right? Because we're in the web industry, and so her name pops up, obviously. And she's been on the show that I help out with, Non-Breaking Space and stuff. And so at first I was like, oh, I've heard her talk. I know her story, right? But just the way you describe Shop Talk is not an interview show, which it clearly isn't. This is my own, like, whatever preconceived uh-huh. notions that I'm bringing to the show. And I was listening to her interview or discussion with you guys while I was making some coffee this morning and toast and stuff. And that sums up, because I really enjoyed it, and I didn't really think back why exactly, but it's because it was just, you know, a brief little chat about her history, but then got into involving her with the Q&A stuff, the discussion that you do of the web industry at large, etc., from the week.
Yeah, that's tough too, because you got to make sure that the questions aren't basically a question that they're trying to ask Dave. You know, it's like generic enough that the guest will have something to say about it, you know, and that's been challenging, but we can kind of generally reframe the question, or just the worst thing that can happen is just kind of like abort mission on that question and ask them something else. That
yeah, and that's what I was going to get at too, is that, you know, you sort of hope you know what the guest might want to talk about, and obviously you generally do, and it's web related, but yeah, if it's kind of just like, how do I fix my CSS thing in this area, and, you know, say in Karen's case, it's, you know, content strategy related. It can be tough. So
yeah, and she's just so smart that she can kind of talk about anything in a way, as long as it's not like, how do you, I don't, you know, like something super CSS nerdy. You know, she'll have something to say about it.
Yeah, yeah. I really enjoyed your chat with her, by the way, just as to go a little web nerdy, because it's the content strategy thing. I've heard lots of stuff talked about, and even her talking about it. And it's still hard for me to sort of work that down, filter that down. My day job, I run my own web design shop and, you know, help clients, small businesses and stuff. But it's so tough to figure out that big word of content strategy when you're working with say one individual at a local shop here, local business or whatever. And it's, anyways, I just really enjoyed you guys chat with her. So I'll put a link in the show notes to that, of course. That's episode 89 of the Shop Talk show. So
right on.
I don't know if I stalled enough for you to think about or pull up your little iOS or iPhone or whatever podcast player or whatever you use. That's the other, the part B of the question is what app do you listen to podcasts on? But what kind of stuff are you listening to?
Oh, that's part B. So we got to do part A first. Right.
You got to follow the script here. Very carefully, meticulously planned.
I feel like there's the AAA ones that it feels weird to even say, because I feel like doesn't the whole world listen to all these, which is basically This American Life, Radiolab, Planet Money, 99% Invisible, those type of things, which I do not miss an episode of because they're just so awesome. But I don't know. Like, maybe it's not weird. So I mention it just in case there's somebody out there that doesn't listen to at least all of those four.
Well, I think especially I'm Canadian. I'm mm-hmm. from Canada. In Canada.
Is there like Canadian versions of those?
Well, no. They play on various radio stations, or anybody can obviously go download them. But it certainly isn't on the same like radar that I think for a lot of.
Good.
20 of the 30 episodes, I think. That I've done, interviews that I've done with folks, 20 of them at least, I'm sure have mentioned some form of all those. So it's obviously popular enough. All that to say that the folks who listen to this aren't necessarily in our industry, in like the web nerd industry. And so the stuff that we listen to.
Right. And boost. None of those are specific to web design. Yeah. But it doesn't matter because they're amazing. Then, I mean, as an industry podcast, probably one of my favorite ones is JavaScript Jabber. Which is like a panel of like, I think it's like, there's like six or seven of them. Maybe that's more. There's at least like four or five. And they kind of, you know, just depends on who's available, I think, that is on the show. And they get really good. They just really, really nerd out about JavaScript. And they get a guest on, not to interview necessarily about their life, but usually about like something that JavaScript person has like been super involved with lately. Like there'll be some big seminal blog post about some JavaScript something, and boom, they'll have that guest on to talk about that article. Or there's some really popular JavaScript library that's gaining popular, and they'll get that the person behind that on to talk about. And then that person just goes off and talks while the rest of the panel is like thinking of interesting questions to ask. So it's interview-ish, but I don't know. I really like what they do, and I don't think a ton of people know about it. I mean, I don't know. It's not that huge and well-known. It's JavaScript Jabber. Definitely check that out. It's really well done, I think. Stuff You Should Know podcast is pretty good. Pixel Recess is really funny. The Moth is good if you really like storytelling aspects of This American Life. The Moth is good. I don't know. Savage Love. Right. That's the Dan Savage one. That's pretty good.
Okay.
I don't know. I have a million of them in here. Should I just read them off? I don't know. That's. some of the This Week in Tech ones are good. I really like listening to Steve Gibson's voice on Security Now on Twitter, where he just talks about like, you know, he uses like Windows XP, you know, like we couldn't be further apart in what we use and like work on day to day basis. But I just like hearing him talk. It's just deep nerd stuff, and I just zone out to it. I get like the good feelies when I just listen to Steve just yammer on about security. I love it.
Nice.
Roderick on the Line is funny with Merlin Mann and that musician dude. Anyway, that's all I got.
Okay. That's good. You came prepared. And then what are you listening to on these days? Do you have an app of choice or?
Yeah, I finally ditched the Apple one because I was trying to be a believer in it, but it's just garbage, I think, on iOS anyway. And I'm using one now called Pocket Casts, which I find a complete replacement to the Apple one, and I like it. It like downloads them in the background. The UI is nicer. It syncs with other devices, you know. I don't know. Pocket Casts on iOS is really good, I think. Yeah. And then I don't listen to a whole lot of them while I'm sitting at my computer, but I do subscribe to them there. And so whatever, I just use iTunes.
Right.
But for the most part, it's in the car or when I go take a walk, throw the headphones on. So it's the main 99% of my podcast consumption comes out of my iPhone.
Nice. Yeah, I'm on the. I have an older version of Instacast that I still am hanging on to on my iPhone, but it's starting to, now with iOS 7. It's starting to show its legs, and so I'm.
The worst feature ever in podcasting invented was how Apple's puts the little exclamation point by the ones that you haven't listened to in a while, and just doesn't get the new ones. Oh, which is clearly just like a bandwidth decision by them, I think, because it doesn't help me out. I'm like, I explicitly subscribed to this podcast. Yes, I want to download new episodes.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry that I haven't had a chance to listen to the last four of them.
Yeah. Exactly. Apple. I love that you feel like you have to apologize for not loving the new. That's how us Apple folks I know sometimes get about. I feel that same way right now. I'm going through the same thing with mail.app where I'm just like, I like it. I've used it. I know it has its issues. And now with Gmail and all that IMAP garbage or whatever, it's having even more issues. But I'm like, to give up a core functionality on the Mac anyways to some other third party feels like I'm, I don't know if it's I'm betraying or I'm worried it's going to get abandoned or Apple's going to do something better. Or I don't know. Anyway, struggles. Right. Apple struggles. First world problems for sure. All right. Well, that's my script for the show for what little cool. script I have.
That was fun. Thanks for having me on. I hope somebody got anything from that. I feel like I wasn't exactly full of hot podcasting tips.
Well, if nothing else, you've got your new marketing slogan for your empire, the three stools. If nothing comes of this, at least you have that. So I'll bless you with that. You can send me the royalties from the shirts.
It's like I was going with like a Triforce before or something, but that was kind of Paravel territory. So
oh yeah,
I'm gonna go with the stool, I think.
Hopefully, it doesn't sum up what's to come with the new season here of Show Me Your Mic. But no. So if in case folks aren't abundantly clear already, and of course there'll be links in the show notes at sskTN.com, and look for Show Me Your Mic in episode 31. And Chris's smiling face. I haven't decided if. Oh, I was going to mention if Chris Coyer is new to you for some way. I love what you did on your about page, and this isn't brand new, I know, but where you have sort of like your life history starting from birth and actually projected death.
Right.
So 2062.
Oh, good. Oh, I'll be super old. I'm glad I went that. I was optimistic on that day.
Yeah. Because 80 to, I can't do math on the fly here, but anyways, you'll live, 82.
Yeah, I did that because I'm really super duper bad at remembering those type of things. So I thought if I just really think about it once and write it down, then I just will reference this forever. Actually, I should update it.
Yeah.
Actually, in April 2013 is the last entry. So November. Has anything happened to me in the last six-ish months? Not so much.
Well, you could put this interview, I guess. That's probably worth...
That's true. I'm going to invent a new color for it.
All right. But in all seriousness, so that's chriscoyer.net/about, which again, link in the show notes. But where can folks find you on the webs if they're looking to stalk you?
Yeah, so that page that Chris just mentioned is just chriscoyer.net, where I occasionally blog things, but they're almost never web-related. It's just life stuff and stupid observations, and it's not actually that interesting of a site, and you probably shouldn't subscribe to it. But I like having a personal site with a kind of place to just do whatever the heck I want to and not worry about it. I can't do that on CSS Tricks, or it doesn't make sense for me to, like, I don't know, blog about how I've started grinding my own coffee on CSS Tricks, you know? Like, that's worth writing about, but it just doesn't make sense for that site.
Yeah.
So, but that site is css-tricks.com. You know, it's the three stools. That's all. Got codepen.io, css-tricks.com, choptalkshow.com. Awesome. At Chris Coyer on Twitter and every other thing. I'm the username type of social media person.
Old school. Or maybe that's new school. I don't know whether that's.
I don't know.
Who cares?
My school.
It's your school. All right. Well, thanks, Chris, for joining me here. And, thank you to all those who have tuned in both live and will listen later. Once again, I'm starting up. There's no we here. This is just me right now. Starting up again with Show Me Your Mic. So thank you for subscribing. You can visit sskTN.com, of course, to view past episodes of this show. Go back to episode 1. Listen to Dave Rupert's version of the Shop Talk Show story, which I think that was recorded probably almost a year ago now, too. So things have changed. But and then 29 other episodes between this one such luminaries as Merlin Mann, Dan Benjamin. Who else is in there? Timothy B. Smith. Other smart podcast folks. And lots of good episodes coming up here. Next up, actually, since I know it, I might as well pimp it, is Katie Floyd over it from Mac Power Users over on the 5x5. I'm continuing my... I saw a comment on iTunes. Someone said that I was pitching to be on 5x5, but it's just actually checking off my 5x5 scorecard, making sure I cover everybody on there, and then I'll go hit up Twit, I think, maybe next. But anyways, Katie Floyd up next for episode 32. And I'm iChris on Twitter, and SSKTN, of course, on Twitter as well. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.